This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to WHL This Week. We are through the opening weekend and now into the season in earnest, and we have a lot ahead. WHL Vice President of Hockey Richard Dirksen leads off our show. There are some subtle rule changes this season. He'll break them down for us in just a moment. Calgary Hitmen forward London Hoyland, he played a special role to begin the new year. His song Vibe Tonight was selected as the soundtrack to the WHL season opening video. He has quite the story, and he'll tell it. And the first tempo WHL player of the week is Prince George Cougars forward Zach Funk. He began his season with the first ever WHL hat trick on opening night. He'll close out the show. First up, Richard Dirksen is the Vice President of Hockey for the WHL now in year 46. He joins us here in our episode 2 of WHL This Week. Rick, first of all, welcome back for another year, year 46, and just ready to give it another run here again this season.
Yes, I certainly am. It's always a pleasure to get our season started. We have a lot of things, of course, that get accomplished over the course of the summer, but once we get the games underway, you know the season is there, and that's what we're all about, the hockey and the regular season, and then, of course, playoffs culminating with the Memorial Cup.
We talked to you about new rules, and there isn't any significant changes, but maybe some that either some fans or definitely some teams would notice. Let's talk about the change in the faceoff circle this year. Rick, what can you tell us about what's been decided there?
Basically, we're just returning to where we were two or three years ago. The centerman will get pitched again for any violation of the faceoff, either by themselves taking the faceoff or by their wingers encroaching. The last couple of years, we've worked on the warning system, and we just felt that the old system was a little bit more beneficial and easier for the linesmen to handle. So we've returned to the exact same method that the National Hockey League uses for their faceoffs.
Two faceoff violations used to result in a minor penalty. Rick, what's the latest on that then?
It still will, and the one that I should just mention is after an icing, the linesman will not pitch the attacking center on that particular play, or pardon me, the defending center on that particular play. Emphasis is to give the team that had the icing against them get the advantage down in the other end. So in that case, the warning will still be given, and on the second warning, it would be a delay of game penalty as well.
Okay. Good to know. And this, I guess, falls under the category of use it or lose it. Coach's challenge when it comes to offside. A lot of teams have a video coach that would, you know, maybe relay a message down. No longer with coach's challenges. What led to that decision?
We had a lengthy discussion at our general manager's meeting on that particular play. And in reviewing the statistics from last year, first of all, we didn't have an awful lot of the challenges. But over half of them, either there was an inconclusive camera angle on it, or it was not offside. So the general managers, through our discussion, just felt that we could try a year without it. And so consequently, we've advised the officials accordingly.
I know the WHL has been really cracking down on a slew-footing infraction, and that's when a player gets behind another player and maybe uses that leg to kick out the back feet. It's a dangerous play. We've seen that as a double minor called and subsequent suspensions for repeat offenders. Any changes on that front this year?
Basically, it's really been a concerning part of our game over the last couple of years. We've seen quite an increase in slew-footing penalties that have been assessed. And so, again, we had a lengthy discussion with our general managers, and we thought we would just tighten everything up. Our director of player safety, Kevin Atchison, when a player receives a double minor now, if it doesn't warrant a suspension, they will get an official warning. And if they have two double minor penalties during the course of the preseason, regular season, and playoffs, that will result in an automatic suspension. Obviously, he's empowered on every one to take a look at it. And based on the degree of violence of the player falling to the ice will be a real key part of his decision-making process. He's empowered to give a suspension even for a double minor the first time a player receives one.
Was there anything else that was on the table that maybe you've decided to say, let's stick with this for the time being and maybe evaluate it after another year?
I don't think anything pertinent. Obviously, we talk about a lot of different things. We're very cognizant of what the National Hockey League is doing with their rule changes. I don't think they had nearly as many this year as perhaps in previous years as well. So I think sometimes it's positive when you don't have as many changes as sometimes we do. And hopefully for the officials, for the players, coaches, everybody involved, less change will be beneficial for the game.
Our guest is Richard Dirksen, Vice President of Hockey for the WHL. Unfortunately, the season has started with a lengthy suspension involving Victoria Royals player on a check from behind in Everett last weekend. 25-game suspension. I think this is perhaps the longest the WHL has done in quite some time, if not ever. What were the factors in doling out a lengthy suspension like this that'll keep the player off the ice basically into December?
Well, I think everybody has a real concern when you get a dangerous check from behind. In this case, the officials levied a match penalty on the play, which is the most severe penalty in the book. And that means that they felt the player was attempting to injure the opponent. So certainly that was a key factor in Director of Player Safety Kevin Acheson's decision. Tying in with that, along with the severity of the hit by Edwards, was the lengthy severe injury to the opponent on the play Dexter Whittle of the Everett Silvertips. And then, of course, the third factor, and something we stress to the teams on a regular basis, is that when a player becomes a repeat offender, it's going to impact on a suspension. Edwards was suspended twice last season, so when you get your third suspension in a two-year period, that puts you in repeat offender status. So that was also a big part of the suspension.
Some would look at this and say perhaps the WHL is lengthening suspensions for some of these types of hits. Was this a one-off, or is there more of a deterrent factor maybe being brought in this year?
I will say it's more of a one-off, and again, as I mentioned, the three key factors in this particular play that resulted in the heavy suspension, we touch wood that that's not going to happen again over the course of the season, and unfortunately it has. I was able to speak with Dexter yesterday. He's on his way home to recuperate now. It's going to be a lengthy recuperation period. But certainly we're hopeful that at some point he'll be able to return to the ice. In the meantime, again, it is a message to our players that the ones that get involved in activities that result in suspensions could find themselves in repeat offender status. And then, of course, when you get a match penalty for any infraction, that means it's the most severe infraction in the book. And that's always taken into consideration when suspensions are being levied.
Okay, and finally, your running mate for a long time was a guest to begin our brand new season. That is Commissioner Ron Robison. He is vacating the role after this year. I know you two go a long way back in the WHL together, so I'm sure there's a sense of sadness, but your thoughts on Commissioner Robison's time in the WHL and what he's meant to the league?
Well, obviously, it goes more than just the job. Certainly when you work with somebody for 24 years, you develop a friendship. We've got a pretty good rapport when we deal with situations that arise. When you work with somebody that long, and of course my respect for him is tremendous. I've had the good fortune in my years to work with two very good gentlemen. First of all was President Ed Chenoweth, and the last 24 years Commissioner Ron Robison have been the two lengthiest commissioners or presidents that we've had in my 10 years. So again, we've had a very good working relationship over the years. It's going to be a little bit bittersweet this year. Certainly, he's very excited about moving on into retirement following his tenure here. And yet we're really hoping to make this last year a great year for the Western Hockey League. We're so pleased how things have evolved over the last two or three seasons since we got through the pandemic. And we're hoping for a really, really positive year this year in the Western Hockey League.
That's great. Well said, and appreciate your thoughts as you break down some of the new rules to watch for and the suspension this past week. Richard, thanks for being our guest on WHL This Week. Have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John. My pleasure.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
It's gonna be a whole vibe tonight. Me and my bros gonna slide tonight. It's gonna be a whole vibe. It's gonna be a whole vibe tonight. Shawty knew to hit me with the invite.
This song called Vibe Tonight was written and performed by Calgary Hitmen 18-year-old forward London Hoylett. It was used in the WHL opening week video, which was released last week. I spoke to London on both the pursuit of music as well as his hockey endeavors. London, first of all, before we talk about that and that side of your life and getting your song chosen for this, let's talk about hockey, first of all. You're a guy that came into Calgary, and I understand just worked as hard as you could to get an opportunity, undrafted. Take me through your story.
I was first listed by the Prince Albert Raiders after the draft year, and I went to camp there, and I got sent back home, but I think it was a good experience overall. I learned a lot about like where I needed to be and in what areas I needed to improve on for my next opportunity. So when that came, well, I got let go from PA and then played my U18 season, and I went to the Max tournament, and I guess somebody from the Calgary Hitmen organization watched me play and gave me a chance to try out for the team as an unlisted player. And I thought, you know what, there's really nothing I can lose, really. So of course I'm going to take that opportunity and just try and make the most of it. And I came in kind of just, I didn't really know anybody, but all the guys seemed really nice and welcoming, and I had a good camp, and Steve gave me a contract, and here I am.
Yeah, great story. Great story, and really goes to show you don't need to be drafted to play in the WHL. To top that off, though, you score the biggest goal of the year for the Hitmen. I think it is anyways. Whenever it's the Teddy Bear game or the Saddle Dome, that's the goal you want to score, right?
Oh, yeah, it was really fun. It was a cool experience for me, and my family as well. They were watching, so it was very special.
Is that the highlight so far of your short WHL career?
I'd have to say probably, yeah, that was definitely the highlight of my WHL career so far. I didn't even know if I was going to be playing in that game, let alone scoring the goal. So it was kind of a surreal moment for me.
Okay, let's talk about the other side, the cool side here that the WHL unveiled. Your track, Vibe Tonight, off the Can't Sit Still album, was chosen as the soundtrack, I guess you could say, for WHL's opening week. It's a catchy beat, and I found myself going to Spotify to check it out myself, so maybe you'll have a few extra plays from me here, but how did this come together? Did they approach you, or tell me the story behind this?
It was actually a really simple story, actually. I just remember sitting at home during the off-season, just in front of my laptop with my music studio stuff, as usual, and I got a message on my phone on Instagram saying, like, would you be interested in being the soundtrack for the hype video for this year's WHL season? And I went round downstairs and told my mom, and she's like, yeah, they'll say yes. So I was like, of course. So I said yes, and a few months for about a month went past, and then I saw my song and my Kaikido name on that hype video, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, like when it first came out, I'm like, who's this artist Kaikido? This is pretty good. And I thought it was, you know, some, you know, rapper from the U.S. I've never heard of here. What's the reaction been like since this came down?
Oh, I mean, it's been awesome. All my friends back home kind of knew I made music, so they've been kind of watching me grow as an artist since I started, really. And it was nice to get a little bit of praise from them as well, and a lot of players around the league started tuning in, I guess, and giving me a follow, and telling me, you know, they liked the song and everything. It was pretty cool.
Now, I read that with some help and I guess maybe some collaboration with your billets in Calgary, you have your own sort of makeshift recording studio there in the garage. Tell me more about that.
So it's funny because, I got to Calgary and I was told I would be living with this family. And I was very excited for the new process, being away from home for the first time. But I was thinking, where will I be able to record my music and not annoy everybody in the house? So I asked my billet dad, his name's Brad, he has he has a workshop for woodworking in his garage, and it's insulated and everything. And he brought up, he said, well, would you like to set up your recording stuff in the garage? And I like just lit up with a smile, so happy. He gave me a space to share with him, and yeah, it's been very nice.
You can check it all out on Spotify under Ty Kiddo. Do you think there'll ever be a point in your life where you'll have to choose between hockey and music? Have you thought about that down the road?
I try not to think about that. I try and just kind of live day by day and just hopefully be able to do both for as long as possible at the highest level. So, yeah, that's kind of my goal, is just to, you know, if I love what I do and as long as I'm having fun with both, I'll just try and take it as far as I can.
Yeah, it's really cool for sure. Who are your inspirations when it comes to making music? Like, who do you look up to? Who do you think you have some traits from, do you think, in the industry?
That's hard to say. I listen to quite a bit of music, but I know it was definitely a big influence on me growing up, listening to Bob Marley with my dad, along with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and all those jazzy kind of old, I guess now it's old music, but yeah, those are still probably my favorites. I think recently I've been listening to a lot of, I guess you could say, like alternative R&B and a little bit of melodic rap. So probably, I mean, guys like Drake and Bryson Tiller and Steve Lacy and Frank Ocean, they're all been pretty good influences on my music process.
Now, your latest single, just out back in August, is All I Got. And what else is coming down the pipe here, London? Is this something you're constantly working on, you know, dropping different singles and maybe an album here down the road as well?
Yeah, I mean, I try and get as much music done as I can when I'm not playing hockey, of course. I have made a YouTube video. It's going to be on YouTube. It's a music video for one of my new songs called Where I Stay, that will be dropping probably within the next month. So we're still getting the finishing touches done on the mix and on the video, and it should be out soon enough, and I'm very excited for it.
Okay, drop your Instagram handle and where people can find you on Spotify, London.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Ty Kiddo Music, no spaces, and on Spotify and Apple Music and pretty much every other streaming platform, just as Ty Kiddo.
Awesome. Hey, well, great job with that opening song there to kick off the WHL season, the hype video song, as you called it here for sure. Have a great season, and keep doing what you're doing there in Calgary. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Because you're building up the hype when you text my phone. It's going to be a whole vibe tonight. Me and my bros going to slide
tonight. It's going to be a whole vibe. The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Prince George Cougars forward Zach Funk had a solid opening weekend. He is the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Voice of the Cougars, Cole Waldy, has more.
Zach Funk, he is the first Player of the Week of the 23-24 WHL season. Zach collecting 7 points over the two games. Congratulations, obviously, firstly. And just take me through the weekend, obviously splitting a big win on Friday and then falling on Saturday. But just your, I guess, general thoughts over the first weekend of the year.
I think there's a lot of positives with this team. I think our offense really stood out this weekend. Obviously, when you got goal scorers up and down the lineup, I think that's a great problem to have. And we just have to tighten things up on, like, defensively. And, you know, again, preparation goes into it. A lot of preparation needs to be the key. And, yeah, I think that if we do that, we're going to be fine in the year.
I know you're very big on team success first, but let's talk about yourself. You know, 7 points, your first career WHL hat trick, a lot of accolades throughout the opening weekend, and it must have been cool to find out that you were named the Player of the Week, and maybe also take me through how you found out.
Yeah, it was very cool. I think, you know, when guys are rolling like that, you kind of you jump on that train, and things go in for you, and that's kind of the case this weekend. Guys were playing their heart out, and I worked off that, and yeah. Luckily found the net a lot, and I think, yeah, a lot of guys are kind of showing up this weekend, and I think we can take that throughout the year.
Your line flourished with Tarek Parasak and Andre Becker. Obviously, who knows what happens throughout the season, but when you look at that first weekend with those two guys, it seemed like you generated something every single time you stepped on the ice. Again, just your thoughts on playing with two pretty talented guys.
Yeah, they're great. You know, they're so easy to play with. They see the ice really well. Yeah, we're all kind of finding each other. We're gelling off each other, and yeah, I think that's what you need to create success in this league. You need to be trustworthy of your teammates, and I think we all trust each other.
Obviously, there's a lot of season left, but the Cougars, you know, been a lot of talk about them, you know, being the favorites and all this stuff. But how important is it to, you know, keep it day by day and not get too ahead of yourselves going throughout the year? Obviously, there's still a lot that can happen, but just the importance, I feel like, to, you know, keep it day to day is very important.
Yeah, I think obviously you've seen it this weekend. Anybody can beat anybody, and you know, doesn't matter what the score was the last night or whatever like that. I think we just have to kind of clean the slate every night and just keep working towards that goal of achieving at the end of the year.
Well said, Zach. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on a great weekend and being named the WHL Player of the Week.
Thank you very much.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests, Richard Dirksen, London Hoylett, and Zach Funk. And a special thanks to Cole Waldie for his help as well. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.